Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Ben. Join me as I chat with big thinkers, decision makers, and leaders in the world of tech. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we have the pleasure of being joined by Megan Sun from OLX Group. I think to get us started, could you give us a bit of information about your role at OLX and the service that it provides?
Yeah, so OLX is an online classified platform, and you can see it is a marketplace. Our competitor is marketplace on Facebook. So basically, everyone can sell everything on this platform, your mobile phone, your furniture, your clothes, and everything. And currently, we are mainly operated in Europe for Poland, Ukraine, Romania, and also Portugal. For other countries, that we are also operated in India and also Indonesia and like Russia, Brazil, and the South America country.
Could you give us a bit of insight into your role at OLX and what that entails?
Okay. Yeah, so my role in OLX, I'm a program manager here in OLX. I'm mainly taking care of the trust and safety program and also the customer-to-customer program. So what does that mean is because on our platform, we have everyone can post everything. So you can image that some crazy stuff will happen. So people post their naked pictures on the platform, okay. Or like they are selling some illegal animals on the platform, and which is not okay for our platform. So my role here, it is to link all the components from different kinds of product team and data team, technology team, and also the data team, and like and also with the local moderation team to make sure that our platform is clean and trustable for our customer. And another program I'm currently facing, I'm currently managing, is a customer-to-customer program. So the main idea is to provide the best experience for our customers when they are selling their items. So you can image if you are business, for example, you already have you own a small shop, and you are a quite well-known clothing web fashion website, and you want to sell something on our platform, you definitely will have more attention from other customers. So people would like to buy from you. But for some people like me or you, we are individual customers. We also want to sell our clothes there. Then it's very hard for us to get attention from other customers. So in this program, the main goal is to also let the single individual customers there have the opportunity to get the most benefit from our platform.
Brilliant, brilliant. That's really interesting. Could you give us a bit of insight into your career journey up to this point?
You mean, actually, my career journey is quite a big move. So I'm originally from Taiwan. In Taiwan, I was a consultant. My background was a consultant. I first joined the Boston Consulting Group as associate. And then after 1 year, finished this, a contract. I also joined IBM as a data science consultant. Then I moved to Berlin to join OLX as a big data analytics only for 3 months or 4 months. And then I switched to data and analytics project manager. So my career is my career was full with data and also consultancy. So only since last year, I started to touch the program management topic and switch from the data topic to the product topic because it's for me, data is a very interesting and powerful tool, but it is very like a supporting role, let's say. Data is a supporting role. So without a real topic, you cannot really make any impact only with the numbers. So I think product is a very great area to apply your data knowledge and also strategy. So I switched to product team and started this role as a trust and safety program manager, hoping that I'm trying to use my knowledge from data and to leverage the data knowledge in the in product side and provide more value to our users.
So you've worked in different areas around the globe.
Yeah.
So I mean, cultures around the globe vary massively. So how do you personally adapt when you've moved to a different location to the different cultures?
For me, it's because for me personally, I love traveling. So adapting into another culture is not a very big problem for me. Actually, I love to see different kinds of culture, and especially seeing people in Taiwan work very hard, and people in Europe is more family oriented, and people take their vacation very serious. So it is to adopt the culture is not a big problem because I love traveling. But moving from Taiwan to Germany and to Europe, especially working with international company like OX, with all the colleagues from every country, from Pakistan, India, from Argentina to America, is really everywhere. Sometimes it's still a culture shock, and for me, it's always a great learning from there.
Mm. So at OLX, you've got offices around the world with like international colleagues, like you were mentioning before.
Yeah.
And in the COVID situation, we've been all working remotely. So has working remotely affected the way you work, or has this somehow been a bit of a benefit?
For me, it's this benefit over the bad side. So because before the coronavirus, OLX has a small problem is every office is very, very far away from another office. So if you are going to have a meeting with a group of people in Poznan, you will notice that people in the same room is talking with each other, and people will completely forget that there is three people over the screen sitting in Berlin office. On the other way is also the same. So when there is making decision or discussion, especially in the engineering project, we need a very close cooperation with each other. It's very hard to leverage the opinions from Poland team or Ukraine team because people will just purely forget, hey, there is also another person sitting on the other side.
Yeah.
But in this situation now, because everyone is working from home, so we all communicate with the internet, so you won't have this problem that you will only want to talk with the person sitting next to you.
Mm.
So for me and my project, probably it's because they are mainly for international projects, I actually quite happy with the situation.
Mm.
Now, I mean, that's the coronavirus situation, of course, but the working from home situation now, I'm quite happy with this.
So how many people do you have working at OLX? Because it sounds like a huge business.
Yes, exactly. Before I joined OLX, I didn't know it's a huge business. But actually, globally, we have around 5,000 people.
Wow.
And only in Berlin office, we have around 200 to 300 people.
Wow. Crazy. So with so many people working there, how does this impact the culture that you have?
I would describe the culture people very, first of all, first is open-minded.
Mm.
And second is people are curious in culture,
right,
in general. Yeah. So open-minded is definitely the way, I would say open-minded and kind. So this company is everyone is open-minded with every difference.
Mm.
So if you are LGBT or if you are from other countries, if you are having very different culture, for example, some people they will they don't eat anything during their some Muslim they don't eat anything during the certain time period, or some people they have their certain believing in some because of some culture thing. Everyone is very open-minded with this. No one will say anything, and everyone see it in a very natural way. So the open-minded is definitely the key culture for OX. And the second thing is kind. So here, I never ever see anyone yelling or shouting to anybody in OX, which is very interesting. In two and a half years, I already stay here for almost 3 years. I never see anyone yelling or shouting with other people. So it is a very, very cool culture, and I love it a lot.
It's interesting because you've got so many people working there, and that sounds like such an organic kind of culture. Do you think that that's to do with the people that you hire, or do you think that the culture comes down to the managers and the people at the top?
No, it's my personal opinion. I personally believe that hiring, you need to decide on this part. And for OLX in Berlin office, we have a hiring process. I'm not sure if currently in the coronavirus situation, we are still applying that. But we indeed have a 4 stages of hiring process.
Okay.
One of the hiring process is about the culture fit. So for this culture fit interview, the first of all, it is about the potential, and then the second is about your knowledge, and the third one, it is about your like culture fit. So this culture fit, it means that your hiring manager need to invite someone outside of the team. So even like from financial team or from like HR team or from a team that you will never ever work in with each other before or probably in the future to join this interview process. And this person is basically to evaluate if the candidate is have a similar culture with him, and if he would also want to work this person. So this is it is something that we already defined in hiring, and I personally feel that it's very hard to change and adopt personality after they join the company. Of course, the manager's leadership principle will also apply some. By the guidance from the management team, but still, I think from hiring the candidates, you need to be aware of this topic.
Interesting. So, in terms of hiring, in your opinion, which do you think takes precedence? Would you say it's a cultural fit for the business or a technical fit for the role, or is it a bit of both?
I would say culture fit is 70% for me.
Wow.
And 30% is about the techniques.
It's interesting because I ask that question a lot just because everybody that I speak to has a very, very different opinion on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really strange. Some people are all technical, some people are completely cultural, some people are a bit of both. It's really strange.
I think it's bundled with my role, right? So my role is a project manager, and before I was the project manager. So my role is very highly related to your people skill. It's very related to your people skill, especially in as a program manager, you need to link the topic between each teams. So how can you introduce yourself in a team and then let the team to adopt you? It is a very key thing. So I think a person who has a very high technical skills, but he's not really good to deal with people, or he always be very strict or black and white on what they want and what they just don't want, cannot be a very great program manager, because as a program manager, you are always trying to find the middle ground between each team and trying to bring everyone together to meet the business goal. So I think in my role, personality and this kind of soft skill is quite key. But if you are more like a super engineer, most of the engineer, you still need some communication skill, because you will never finish a project by yourself. But I think compared with engineers, compared with project manager and engineers, engineer will need less the personal soft skill. So their technology skill probably will have a more high standard.
So what's the turnaround of staff like at OLX in your team? So how many people do you have leaving, and do you have a lot of people, new people joining the team on a regular basis?
Yes. In general, the turnover rate is not that high, but recently, since last November, many people leaving, really. So a lot of people left the company because of the reorganization. So the reason is because OX is a growing company. Our culture was very startup oriented. So I just joined OX two and a half years before that. We go to a beer garden every single day. So everyone is like, you are colleagues, and but you're also like friends, and people will also hang out together. I even had a 3 days trip together with my team. But the thing is that that was a very startup culture. And now OLX is growing, and you need to, we are in the middle of a startup and corporate. So some people cannot really adopt in this new culture. And in this kind of changes, we have reorganization and we have a lot of reorg. We have new responsibility. Before, the product manager is the person to take in charge from end to end, from research to engineering to everything. But now we realize we have more and more product managers. Then how can you coordinate between different kinds of products? Because from outside, you will only see Facebook as one product, but you don't know, but our user will not notice that actually inside Facebook, there's a tons of product managers taking care of single components. So it is a little bit similar situation in OLX. So even if it's just a platform, it is one product, but there is a lot of product managers taking care of different kinds of components. For one, from product manager taking care of chat, another product manager taking care of the registration form. So this kind of small components. And this kind of culture change and also organizational changes indeed let a lot of people leave. And that was that is sad. But on the other hand, also happy for the company that the company is going to the next stage.
What does your recruitment strategy look like? Is there a struggle finding the right fit for the role?
For me, yes. So my role, I'm not dedicated as a hiring manager, and yeah. I'm also not an HR person, right? But from time to time, I will need to recruit new people for my project. So for example, for recruiting, like as an internal program as a program manager, my recruiting channel is two. Either I find the resource from other teams, so recruit this person to my project, and then we start to run the project. On the other hand, if there is no capability or maybe no right persons in the company, then I need to find it from outside of company. The most challenging resource internally is the front-end engineer. I don't know why, but in Berlin office, we don't really have a front-end engineer. So I need to start to I need to find a front-end engineer. And before, when I was recruiting the data analytics and business analytics, it's also a little bit hard to find the right person. So the recruiting process, this kind of project recruiting process for temporary contractor in OLX is we have a cooperation partner with our HR. So for me, I just reach out to our HR. HR will manage from somewhere. I don't know from where, from maybe external consultant or a company, give me a lot of resume, and I trying to find the right profile and schedule a meeting with the person. But it's not really easy to find someone within the budget, also fit the culture, and also with the right skill set. So it is not, I don't know, as a candidate trying to find a job, you feel that it's so hard to find a job. But as a recruiter, you also feel like, oh my God, it's so hard to find the right candidate.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of boxes to tick when you're looking for a new person to fill a role. Like you're mentioning there, there's culture and technical, and you know, you've got a budget as well. So there's so much to kind of take into consideration.
Yeah. In the end, budget is the most easy one because you know how much budget you have. And if you really want this person, the company, I mean, in our company, if it is like a small amount of overrated, they are also okay-ish. But to find the right skill set person, it's a bit hard, especially if I'm going to recruit, it's usually about the project with a very short time period. So the technical parts will get in more like percentage in my concern. So when I was hiring a regular employee in my team, that is around like, I only concern 30% of their techniques. But if I'm hiring a person for my project only for 3 months or 4 months, then that really go deep into the technical part because he really needs to able to do the query and data analytics if I'm going to hire data analytics.
I think, Megan, we could talk about women in tech and data science, if you like.
Ah, sure, sure, definitely. This is the topic that I, close to my mind.
Yeah, so I'm really interested in how to get more women involved in tech because it's really beneficial that more women work in this industry. So how do you think we can get more women involved in data science and technology?
So if you see this topic, basically you can see two ways. The first way is either you starting to do some regulation to protect having more seats or more percent, have some certain of a percentage for women inside a tech company or in a department or in a certain job. I personally I'm not a big fan for that because I don't think that making women being visible on the technology area is by adding this kind of extra regulation, it can help because it will just emphasize that woman is different from men. But actually in my mind that woman is equal to men, then they are able to do the same thing as men did. Then in this case, what can really help that is by building the community for women. And then they will know each other more and get connected with each other, sharing the information between different kinds of company. And to tackle the problem that making more women go to the leadership team, and then they are able to mentor the more junior person to come into the leadership team. So I personally believe that when we are looking at the statistics, we will realize that, especially in Germany, the most of the management team, their combination is white men. Usually, it's like that. So, but when you are going to a higher, you are going to a higher position, it's not really about how much knowledge you have, but also about your connection and about your soft skill. If you can understand the politics going on in the organization, then you have more possibility and resource to fight for your area. So you know that in the future business direction, what is the more important thing and what is not. So this is the thing if you are going to a higher management, you are going to a higher position. And so I think for this, by building a community within women, it will be very helpful. It will be very helpful. So I'm not a big fan for saying that, okay, we are going to have having some like a regulation to say we need to have a 50% of women in certain department or something, and this kind of thing will happen.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. So I'm intrigued about what inspired you to get into data science and technology.
I think the reason is just because I study computer science in bachelor because I'm very good at math and not good at biology.
Okay.
Biological. I'm not really good at that. So I end up coming to computer science and then kind of following the flow to trying to be an engineer and then data science. So the reason is because when I was in university, even I was a computer science, so I studied computer science, but I don't want to be an engineer. I don't want to be an engineer. Mm-hmm. I'm more interested with business. And at that moment, I only know marketing or I only know marketing and engineers. So if you are not going to be an engineer, then you are going to be a marketer. So I starting to do a lot of I start to do a marketing analytics internship in Germany, and I realized it's very interesting. And with the in marketing, you are able to do data analytics to understand the competitive scope in your product. Then after I come back to Taiwan, I think it's a very interesting topic. So I would like to join I see the possibility to join data and business, and also with my strengths in engineering. So at that moment, data science was not popular. Only I know there's a, but by this, I see an area that I can combine my interests, what I know, and my strengths. So that's the reason why I started to touch the data science topic since then.
Cool. What do you enjoy about it, and what inspires you?
I enjoy the most about the you can really make an impact and finding some secrets between from a number. So if you only see the number itself, then it is just a number, but you can actually tell the story behind the number. So for example, I had a client in bank, and then we did a customer clustering inside the bank. And we can realize, and from that clustering model, we can find that, okay, actually the elder people, they are more interested with a certain type of credit card. And another younger generation with a certain profile, they are interested with another credit card. And this is something that I enjoy a lot, because from an interview, you can only understand a very single point of view or a specific perspective for a problem. But with a lot of data, you are able to see an overview situation. And it is, I think it's very interesting. And I will feel that it is more easily closer to the truth. So, for example, if at that moment we want to know that what kind of finance products the elder person like, I can interview 10 people and then got 10 different kinds of questions. On the other way, I can do the data analytics and then collect 10,000 of data to do the analytics inside that. And then it means that the first one I only have 10 samples, but for 1,000, for the second one I have 10,000 samples. And the 10,000 sample is closer to the truth of the world. So it is the thing I enjoy a lot when I'm doing analytics and also data science.
Excellent. Thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been really, really interesting. Great to have you on.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform.